Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, encourage them with these words, come grow with us. Find two or three there. Find two or three. Come grow with us. Oh, hallelujah. Come grow with us. God bless you. You may be seated. The Spirit's been talking to us about what it means to grow spiritually. Spirit of the Lord has been talking to us about becoming mature Christians and growing in our spiritual maturity. How many want to grow in the Lord? Amen. How many refuse to stay where you are? Oh, hallelujah. You refuse to stay status quo. You refuse to stay in a spiritual rut. Amen. But you want to move forward in the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Whether you've been in church for 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, you want to move forward in the things of God. And what we know about spiritual maturity is this. It does not happen automatically. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen because of the amount of time we've been in church. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen because we are involved in some ministry somewhere. If just being around Jesus was enough to become spiritually mature, then Peter would have never denied the Lord. Judas would have never backslid. Thomas would have never doubted. If being around Jesus would make you spiritually mature. So we see that spiritual maturity and spiritual growth doesn't just happen because we show up for church and sing a few songs and clap our hands. Jesus would say it like this, John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The New Living Translation puts that verse like this. You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. So we see here this, a true disciple, a true follower of God, a true spiritually maturing individual continues to obey the teaching of God's word. Now, this means it's two-part. When it says you continue in my word, you continue being obedient to my teaching, it's two-part. This means they continue to be obedient to what was previously taught to them, and they also submit themselves and are obedient to that which is currently being taught to them. You see that? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Notice what he's saying is, listen, we don't want you to have to always be retaught the foundational things. He said, you need to just keep believing those things, and then from that place, move on into new revelation. Move on into new knowledge. But you got to do both. You can't just try to accept current revelation and let go of past revelation. And you can't just accept past revelation and refuse to be submitted to current revelation. And a true disciple is somebody who says, I'm going to be obedient to what I already know. And I'm going to be obedient and submitted to what I am currently being taught by the Holy Ghost. And so what we see here, what we're learning here is that a characteristic, and there are several, a characteristic of a maturing saint of God is that they have a teachable spirit. I might say a teachable spirit. They have a teachable spirit. And how many know sometimes we think things about ourselves that aren't necessarily true. Sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. And sometimes we can feel like we have a teachable spirit when in reality we don't really have a teachable spirit. Amen. So one way to know whether or not we have a teachable spirit is by our inward response. Not your outward response. Not what you say out loud, not how you react physically or emotionally or verbally. Not anything outwardly, but how you respond inwardly to God's word. When he speaks something to you or I that confronts us. That is when you know whether or not you truly have a teachable spirit. How do you respond? How do I respond when God's word, his presence, his power confronts me with something? Something that is uncomfortable for me. The book says this, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, this is the English Standard Version of that verse. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. That's what it says. Now, we talked Thursday about getting offended, and you can't get offended in me. I didn't call you stupid. The English Standard Version of the Bible called you stupid. But those who truly desire knowledge so as to be able to grow in the Lord do not mind, rather they embrace being disciplined by the Lord, even when it's tough. But those who do not like for God to challenge them, those who do not like God to confront them, those who don't want the word of God coming through the man of God or a brother and sister in the Lord to challenge something about how they live, what they are doing and different aspects of their life. They don't want that. The Bible says those people are just spiritually and immature. And so we can talk about how mature we are all we want. We can go around talking about how we've grown in God and all this kind of stuff. But if we do not allow the word of the Lord to confront us, and we don't want anybody to confront us and challenge us, then we're really not mature. It even goes further than just that, because Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, several verses that we're going to be looking at today, I want you to understand that what we've been talking about is it's a very biblical thing. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Take heed therefore how you hear. Take heed. Pay very close attention to your response, how you are hearing what is being taught to you. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now let me break this down. This is speaking of new truths, new revelations. This is speaking of the Holy Ghost through the man of God, through the word of the Lord. It is speaking of those new truths coming into our lives, being preached or taught or learned by us. These things are being spoken into our living. And it says, you make sure to take heed or be very concerned, be very diligent about your response to the hearing of those new truths. To this new thing that God is trying to speak into your life, even if it makes you uncomfortable. Because if you are obedient to it and you are submitted to it, even when it's uncomfortable, the Bible says that that releases God to continue to give to you. What it's saying is this: the Lord says, I got this revelation for you. And even though it might be uncomfortable, it's going to make you better than what you are right now. And when an individual receives it with gladness, even if it's uncomfortable, they receive it with gladness because they have a teachable and a submitted spirit. The Lord says, now I can give you something else. And now I can give you something else. And he continues to pour revelation upon you. And he continues to pour instruction upon you. And with the continual outpouring of revelation comes a continual growing of the individual that is receiving it. And so that person just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and maturing in the Lord. Why? Because when the word came to them, even when it was uncomfortable, they had a teachable, submitted spirit that said, I will receive this into my life. And that, therefore, that allowed God to say, now I can tell you what's next. How many know the Bible says that when God does a thing, he does it line upon line and here a little and there a little. He doesn't give it to us all at once. He builds. He gives us a little, and he sees how they're going to respond to the little I just gave them. And if they receive it openly and with a submitted heart and a teachable spirit, then I will give them a little bit more. And then I'll give them a little bit more until I can build them into what I want them to become. But the opposite of that is also true. If we do not have a teachable spirit, if we don't have a teachable and a humble and a submitted spirit towards these greater truths as God is speaking them to us, then not only will he, listen, this is important, not only will he not speak anything further to us, but the revelation that we already possessed will begin to leave us. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. There's going to be some things that are taken. I want you to get this now. This is so important. We do not stop moving forward at the place of our unsubmission. We start moving backward. You see, so many times people think, well, you know, I've grown, but I've got to this place right here. And the Lord's been speaking this new truth, this new revelation, this new thing he wants me to change and alter in my life. And I'm just not willing to submit. At the place of our submission, it's not the place we stop moving forward. That's the place we start moving backward. It is impossible to stay at the same place when it is an unsubmitted heart that is keeping you there. It is impossible. That's why people get to a place in God where they refuse to submit. And then what happens? We slowly start seeing them letting down on this. Am I right? And they start letting down on this, and they stop doing this, and they stop being faithful, and they stop this, and they stop that. So the revelation to that person was, the Lord wants you to forgive your brother or forgive your sister. The word of the Lord to that person is, we don't want you to be talking about your brother behind their back, talking about your sister behind their back, talking about them and ridiculing them and tearing them down. That's your brother. That's your sister. And that revelation comes to somebody, but they don't want to be obedient to that. They don't want to have that. They don't want to say yes to that, and they don't want to submit to that. Now, what happens? What happens? They don't just stay where they are. All of a sudden, now it can be a million things, but one of the things that's most natural or that happens most commonly is that you're going to see this individual begin to miss church. When they used to be some of the most faithful people. When they hear me now, this, listen, I've done this for 20 years. I know what I'm talking about. People that used to talk to other people and say, hey, we missed you Thursday. You should have been there. And we missed you on Sunday. You probably could have made it on Sunday. You really need to press your way out and go beyond the excuses for why those same people who used to encourage other people to make sacrifices in order to be faithful to the house of the Lord, those same people, because they refused to submit to current revelation, now find themselves doing the very thing that they used to tell other people not to do. Because it is a regressive revelation that happens. You don't see them worshiping like they used to worship. You don't see them in an altar like they used to be in an altar. You don't see them praying like they used to pray. Let's just be real. There's some in the church that, man, I mean, when you look at your altar experiences of a couple years ago compared to your altar experiences today, there's a drastic difference. There's a drastic difference. And those things happen over time. It didn't just happen from one Sunday to the next. What was it? More than likely what it is there is an area in your life where you are refusing to have a teachable spirit. There's an area in your life where you are refusing to submit to the things of God. And because of that, you are beginning to going forwards and growing in the Lord. And so this is all determined by having a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. The book says this. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 8. Proverbs 13 verse 8. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. English Standard Version of that verse says this. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. Poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction. But whoever heeds reproof, heeds correction, listens, is submitted, has a teachable spirit towards that which the Spirit is trying to correct in them, they are honored. God honors them. He exalts them. Spiritual poverty, spiritual disgrace comes to those who do not have a teachable spirit. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 says this. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. You heard the word, kept it. You submitted to it. You were obedient to it. Because of that, you will bring forth fruit. You see the difference? Poverty and disgrace to those who are not obedient, not teachable. Fruit is birthed in one who is teachable. So we see here that, so really it's a matter of what we want in our lives, right? It's a matter of what we want. Do we want spiritual poverty? Do we want spiritual disgrace in our lives? Or do we want fruit to be birthed? And the difference between those two things becoming one or the other in our lives, the difference maker is, do we have a teachable, submitted spirit? Oh, hallelujah. Now, is this all right today? When we talk of growing in the Lord and when we talk of maturing in Christ, we're talking about becoming that which God has designed for us to become. Right? How many understand that you have a purpose on this earth? You have a purpose on this earth. You have been designed. You have been called. You have been fashioned to do something great. We weren't created to just meander through life. We weren't created to just get up and go to work and come home and whatever and just doing the same thing. We were created for greatness. We were created with a purpose. And so this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about God's design and us growing to the place where we can fulfill, where we can fulfill the will of God for our lives. And here's why having a teachable spirit is so necessary to this process. This is why having a teachable spirit is so necessary to this process of us trying, or for us allowing God to get us to where we're supposed to be. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. It's not that knowledge was not given to them. It was not that knowledge was not afforded to them. It was not that knowledge was not offered to them. It was that knowledge was rejected by them. And so he says, I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Is that what it says? Now, let's look at this. God's purpose for their lives was for them to be involved in the priesthood, right? But because they rejected knowledge was given to them, but they did not have a teachable spirit. And so they rejected this knowledge. They disqualified themselves from the calling of God that was on their life. I want you to put this in the context of us and the calling of God upon our life. So here they are, and they disqualify themselves because they didn't have a teachable spirit. God said, you've been disqualified from the very thing that I called you to do. But not only that, but think about this. Since the office of a priest, it went from father to son. And so if your dad was a priest, you became a priest. It was in the lineage. You understand? It was in the lineage of a man that was called the original priest that God called, and it was passed down from father to son. And so because the father disqualified himself because of an unteachable spirit, he didn't just disqualify himself from being what God called him to be. He also disqualified his son. Because the son couldn't be the priest if the dad wasn't the priest. And the dad couldn't be the priest. Listen, the unwillingness of one generation to submit to the teachings of the Lord causes the next generation to miss out on their calling and their purpose as well. Oh, hallelujah. The book says this about you and I. It says this about you and I. We're talking here. He says, I wanted you to be a priest, but because of your unteachable spirit, you couldn't be the priest that I called you to be. But then the book says this in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, about you and I. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God. His purpose for us is for us to be kings and priests on this earth. You say, what do you mean, a king over like a country or a priest? No. That it's talking about a spiritual king and a spiritual priest. When it speaks of us operating in the realm of being a king, it is speaking of us having power with man. Kings have power with men. And when God says, it is my will for you to be a king, he is saying, it is my will for you to have power with man. And then he speaks as of being a priest. What does that priest have power with God? And so the will of God for each and every person in this room, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you've been in church 5 months or 50 years, it doesn't matter. The will of God for us is to be kings and priests in the worlds in which we live. It is the will of God for us to have power with man and power with God, kings and priests. But as Hosea shows us, having an unteachable spirit will cause us to exempt ourselves from the role that God has called us to operate in. And we will not be able to operate and have power with man. And we will not be able to operate and have power with God. And it all comes back to the fact that we have an unteachable and an unsubmitted spirit towards the greater truths that God is trying to speak into our lives. Oh, hallelujah. And you see why this is all so important? Because there's a group of people in the room. There's many people in this room that we truly want to do what God has called us to do. We want to operate in the role and in the realm of being a king and a priest and having power with man and having power with God here on this earth. But we have to understand that getting to that place and fulfilling those roles does not just happen. There's a process to it all. And the process begins and ends with someone that has a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. And this is important, especially for parents, but not only just parents in this room that younger generations are looking towards. This is so very important because when we disqualify ourselves through a spirit that is unteachable, we do not just disqualify ourselves, but we hinder greatly the next generation from becoming what God has called them to become. Why? Because it is so very hard for a child to have a teachable spirit when their parent has not modeled it to them. And it is very hard for the next generation to have a teachable spirit if they're looking to those above them, and those above them do not have a teachable spirit. Oh, hallelujah. But if disobeying exempts us from our calling, then obeying propels us into our calling. It all comes down to obedience. It all comes down to submission. Have I ever talked to you guys about submission? It all comes down, the whole book, everything comes back to submission. Being obedient, having a submitted heart, having a teachable spirit, it propels us into our calling. It propels us into our calling. Now watch this. Watch this. Obedience propels us into our calling. A submitted spirit, a submitted heart propels us into our purpose. I want you to see this from the story of Mary in the New Testament. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now just think with me now. She's been chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah. The Messiah that's been prophesied about for millennia. She has been chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah. Now think about this now. Remember, she's a virgin. And she's going to give birth to a child. And so, can you imagine the societal stigma? Can you imagine the stigma that was attached to her? Going to the market and going whatever, and she's, you know, she's not married. There's a stigma now. And so this is the word that God spoke to her through the angel. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. And so listen, attached to this word was a stigma that was going to be tough to have upon you. It caused some pretty serious trust issues with Joseph. This is the word that's difficult. And so the Lord's saying, you're gonna have this. And she's thinking, man, what's society going to think about me? What's Joseph going to think about me? Right? Not only that, but her whole world was going to start looking at her. She said that she's the mother of Jesus and the mother of the Messiah. And now all of a sudden, where she was just one of many, now all eyes are upon her. And Joseph's kind of, I don't know about you. Right? So this word is tough. This word is uncomfortable to receive. Not unlike the last couple of weeks. In different forms, in different fashions, the word has been tough to receive. And so here's this word to Mary. And she's thinking through all of this stuff. It's not an easy word. It wasn't easy to accept. And yet, watch her response. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. Now listen, I've preached from this text, you know, every Christmas. I've read it, I've preached from this text, but I noticed something last night, Brother Tim, and I felt like the Lord showed me something. She says, "Be it unto me according to my word." What is this? She said, "I am submitting myself to your word. I have a teachable spirit, even though it's a tough word, even though it's a difficult word, even though there's going to be all this stigma attached to me, and it's going to be hard. I submit to your word because I have a teachable spirit, nevertheless at thy word." And then watch what it says. "And the angel departed." Watch. Who was this angel? The angel was Gabriel. The angel was Gabriel, listen, who was the messenger angel. He was the angel that gave the message from God. When God wanted to send a word to somebody, oftentimes he would send Gabriel, give them this word. But watch, it was only after Mary submitted to the message that the messenger could leave. And then, and only then, could Mary then walk in her purpose. Because if you look at it, the messenger, Gabriel, he always, when he's speaking to her, he said, "It shall be," and "he shall be called." "He shall be," "this shall be." He's always future tense, future tense, future tense. What he's saying is this: if you'll be obedient to the message, there's going to be something that happens in your future. But your future will never become a reality until you first are obedient to the messenger. Submits to the message. Or to the word, is the moment the messenger says, "I can step out of the way now so that that which I spoke to you can become a reality and not just a prophecy." See, and God help me with this, because this is the reason why some of us always have that same message coming back to us time after time after time after time. That same message keeps confronting us every service. I could be preaching on something totally different. But what you hear is that same message coming back to you about that particular area where you are refusing to submit to the word of God. Come on now. I could be preaching about praise and you're hearing a message on forgiving your brother because that's the area where you are unsubmitted in and unwilling to be obedient to the message. And so what happens? The messenger has to stay right in front of you. The messenger cannot leave. I feel the Holy Ghost. So the messenger stays there and he confronts and he confronts and he confronts and he speaks to you and he talks to you and he's trying to give you a word and he's trying to give you a message. And the Lord speaks through that word, through the man of God, through the word of God, through your own personal prayer time or Bible reading or a guest evangelist or whatever it is. And that messenger just stays there in front of your face and does not move. And you wonder, why is it that every time I go to church and every time I go to pray, this is the only thing I feel. This is the only thing I hear. This is the only thing that talks to me. This is the only thing that I ever get. It's because it's a message from the Lord, and it cannot leave until you say, nevertheless, at thy word. It will not leave you until you get to a place where you say, there's going to be some stigma attached to this. This is a tough word. This is a hard word. This is a difficult word, but I submit to it. And the moment you do, the messenger says, yes. Because the messenger says, now I can move out of the way because you submitted to my purpose. And now the purpose of which I spoke can become a reality. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this is why Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. When we are obedient to the word of a king, when we are submitted to the word of the king, it then releases power. But power doesn't come. The release of power doesn't come before the obedience of the word. The obedience of the word comes first. And then the release. Obedience to the king's word comes first, and then acceptance and revelation of the king's power comes second. Do you see this? This is so important. Oh, hallelujah. This is why we have to have a teachable spirit. Because if we don't, we're going to stay at that same place time after time after time after time. And that messenger is going to try to get to us and get through us. And we're not going to listen. We're not going to listen. And we're not going to listen. And so the power of God is over here wanting to work, but it cannot. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. He that is often reproved becomes stubborn or unsubmitted and obstinate towards the teaching shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. The English Standard Version says it like this: he who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. You say, well, I thought God could heal everybody. Watch, watch. Here's why you can get to, and you and I can get to a place in our disobedience and our unsubmission where we cannot be healed. Here's why. Because the book says this, Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. But if I'm not submitted to his word, then I cannot accept and receive the healing that comes from the word. Oh, hallelujah. And so it puts me in a place where I am going to be destroyed. And it's not that there isn't a remedy. The fact is I'm not submitted to the remedy. The reason I'm in the mess in the first place is because I'm not submitted to the word. I don't have a teachable spirit. So then when the Lord desires to give me help, he can't do it because I'm not submitted to the help that he's trying to give me. Well, somebody said amen. This is so important. We have got to have a teachable spirit. There is real danger. Spiritual danger that comes in the life of one who does not have a teachable spirit. But the opposite side is great blessing. Wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Notice, true wisdom, from this text, watch this. True wisdom does not mean that we've gotten to a point where we no longer need to learn. That's not true wisdom. To be truly just does not mean that we have arrived at our spiritual destinations. But to be truly wise means to desire more instruction. That's what the Bible considers as a wise individual. It's not somebody that knows everything. It's not somebody that has arrived. It's not somebody that's so spiritually mature that they're so far advanced above everybody else in the room. No, that's not what the Bible considers to be a wise individual. The Word of God considers somebody to be wise that simply desires more knowledge. That understands, I'm not where I need to be. And so, God, when you speak into my life, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to grow. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to allow you to speak into my life. And if it's difficult, fine. If it's hard, fine. I'm going to submit to it because I have a teachable spirit. And the Lord says, somebody like that is wise. And somebody like that is just. So the heart cry, I'm coming to a close. The heart cry of one who has a teachable spirit is this. Psalms 86 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way. Oh, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. If it's tough, teach me. If it's uncomfortable, teach me. Teach me. Psalms 25 and 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. The way you show me might not necessarily be a way that I want to go. But it's not about me. It's about me wanting to do what you want me to do. To become what you've called me to become. And the only way I can get there is if I walk the road you have patterned me to walk down. So show me the way. Show me the way. In fact, the English Standard Version of that, Psalms 25 and 4 says, make me to know your ways. That's even a little bit more serious. Make me. If I get out of line a little bit, whoops. Come on. Make me. If I'm not submitted to it, you make me be submitted to it. Now, how many of us feel comfortable praying that prayer? Make me. And you understand that he really can make you? You're going to try to do it on your own first. I'm going to submit. Because I don't want to have to make you make me submit. Because you making me submit might not look as pretty. And it might be a little painful. So before we even get there, Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. What is it? It's a teachable spirit. It's a willingness. I'm going to do it. Make me do it. Psalms 119:27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Psalms 119:35, last verse. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Make me. That's the heart cry. That's the heart cry of someone with a teachable spirit. Make me, Lord. Stand. Please stand. Whatever it takes.